Beloved one, today I met the deep silent space inside myself. I have never been there before. I met the pure being and warm crystal tears of gratitude invaded my soul. Thank you, my master. Forever at your feet, Sumali. That is Shanti coming back. And you never know how it's going to happen, when it's going to happen. You say, I have never been there before. Isn't it amazing then? It has always been there. No, you went there. So that's what the Master is doing. Slowly, slowly, in mysterious ways, helping you just to relax, to be, to fall back into harmony. You don't even know what happens, but it happens. And this silent space inside, you have to be silent. You have to be natural. You have to be resting in yourself now, in tune. And you can go on and on being busy, trying to meditate, trying to find peace, silence, harmony. But you cannot do it. But there's something mysterious that happens. It's beyond you. You cannot do it. Still, it happens. And when it happens, this is the outcome. A deep silent space. I have never been there before. I met the pure being. And from that space, you see the world in totally new eyes. Because now they are clean. But the habit of being busy and being away from that silent, pure being is so deep ingrained that even if I'm telling you every day, the restlessness of the mind, of the habit, is so deep. But this is how it's going. You don't even know. But just by being there, being devoted, being present, being in tune, slowly, 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 like a pendulum, it starts going very far to the sides. Then slowly, slowly it slows down. You don't even know because there's still movement. And the mind might be busy like it always has been. And your conditions and your emotions. But it is slowing down. If you are conscious, then you help that slowing down. But being here with me, one day you just stop. In the stopping, then you see your clear being. And what is the outcome? Warm crystal tears of gratitude invaded my soul. This is the mystery. Mystery revealed. Thank you, my master, forever at your feet, Somali. I know Somali. That is the thing, when you have touched that space, that's what I said, some people can leave, but then they haven't touched that space. Then the mind is still pulling you away from the temple. Then you get caught up. And that caught up can be in millions of things. Millions of things. But if you have touched it, then you become steady. Because then you know. Then whatever the mind, the emotions, the feelings can come up with, you know. You know the real, you know the peace, you know the silence. You know the trust, you know the crystal tears of the soul, your own being. And there the mind has nothing to say, nothing. There was an enlightened woman called Daya, and she said, my master told me, take the vow of the tortoise, withdraw your senses, and bring awareness to your breath. And that's what the tortoise is doing. Is withdrawing their senses, their legs. You go inside yourself. Then you are safe. You can use all the energy to feel, to sense. That is what meditation is. And that's what the master has to tell the disciple. Come back. Pull your long hands and feet and mind and feelings and attachments from the outside. Come back. Be simple. Be present. Slowly, slowly bring your attention to the now. Otherwise, the body is always restless. It should always do something, be somewhere else. Then it's a restlessness in the mind, in the body, and the body will follow the mind. If you're not the master over your mind, your feelings, then you will run around like a rabbit your whole life, like most people do, the rat race. Not knowing what they are doing, where they are, but they have to run. They have to move. They have to be somewhere else. Daya says, this is what my master told me. Come back, withdraw your senses, bring awareness to your breath. And that is vipassana, that is the basic method of Buddha, because the breath is always in the moment. So just being aware of your breath, of your heartbeat, of your presence, and you start getting centered. These are the techniques you have to use consciously to come back. Otherwise, people breathe the whole life. Everybody breathes. But very few are aware of their breath. Like everybody has a heart, but very few has a really alive heart. Like Gurdjieff said, you are not born with this soul. You have to work for it. Very strong words. You are not born with this soul. You have to work for it. Everybody is born with this soul, but there's also some truth, because what is the point of having a heart, having a soul, if you're not in touch with it? This is how humans can fool themselves. That is what the master is saying. Come back. Come back to your heart. Come back to your soul. Come back to your breath. Come back to the moment. Withdraw your attention, your senses from the world. Don't be so identified. Don't be so attached to your past, to your story. Learn the simple life, get in tune. Only there can it happen. That's what all the master says. But the words can be very easy, but to do it is something else. And this happens only when you have trust, love in the master. Said the master to Daya, take the robe of the tortoise, withdraw your senses and bring awareness to your breath. Without utterance, with no beads in your hands, remembrance continues within. You don't need to say anything. You don't need any mantra, any Hare Krishna, Hare Ram, nothing. Let it go so deep that it always becomes present, that you become steady. And the more close you come to yourself, the easier it is. Because then you remember what is important. If you are not present, you cannot remember what is important. You have no idea. You are lost in the false, in the unreal. Coming back slowly, slowly, you get more and more conscious of the real. Then less and less effort. Till only that takes over, then it's effortless. Without any utterance, with no beads in your hands, remembrance continues within. This remembrance continues all the time. And that is the whole thing, to remember. Remember yourself. Remember your heart. Remember your breath. Remember the master. Anything that brings you back to the moment. You have to hold on to that. That helps you. And of course, being very aware of what takes you away from the moment. You have to study yourself and take notice, what is it that brings me away? Because you have so many things that you are attached to, identified with, that brings you away. And not being conscious, you don't see it. You act just out of habit. That's why you need to be steady. You have to study yourself. You have to take note. Even here, where it's so easy, see how difficult it is. Only a rare person experienced this. It is the grace of the Master, says Daya. And that's what you say, Somali. This is how it happens. It can happen here. Only a rare person experienced this. So many people in the world, so many seekers in the world. Very rare people it happens. Very, very seldom this happens. That you see yourself, that you come back. It is the grace of the Master, says Daya. This is the grace of the Master, because you are falling in tune without knowing. That is the devotion, the love. Slowly, slowly, things happen. Nobody does anything. But just allowing yourself to be ordinary, to be in tune, to stay in touch, to be devoted, this is revealed. That's what they always said. This is the grace of the Master. Then you realize that you are that. So silence can be very helpful. If you have the right climate. Otherwise, silence can be very frustrating. Silence without love doesn't go deep. When you have love in your heart, devotion in your heart, understanding in your heart, then love can be very effective. In fact, silence will then come as a shadow. Because you are at peace, it's easy. Because you feel good, you feel at ease inside. Then the silence comes like a shadow. They go together.
Yeah.
beloved master, I want to share a fairy tale with you. Once upon a time, there was living a little happy girl in the town. She was joyful and loving in her heart. One time she was playing in her garden. A very dark and angry witch appeared and said to the girl, "You will not be the same as before now. I put a spell on you and you will be ugly, angry and unhappy. Only if you find stronger than magic than mine, which I doubt, you will be saved. I am coming to you from the past and doing with you the same as you did with me." Saying that, the witch disappeared, and the girl slowly became ugly, angry and sad. Years later, she was a woman, but always unsatisfied and demanding, trying to fulfill her emptiness, but nothing helped. Once she was walking in a beautiful garden, and she lost her way, and a man appeared. He was a powerful magician. He said to her, "Come to me, my little child. You are lost, and I will show you the way." With every step she took towards him, she was becoming a child again. Such a mystery. When the girl reached him, she became again a little girl as before, happy, laughing, and playing. "You were under a spell, my child. I took it from you. You were taught bad things in your life. No, I will teach you good things." You needed to become a child again to again start growing in the right way. You are now in the right garden. The girl was very happy, and she loved her magical teacher very much. As the magician said, everything became alive again. "Beloved master, I am so happy to become a child again, being with you. Thank you so much. You really took the spell out of me. Thank you for allowing me to grow in your loving and blissful space. I love you very much. Grateful and growing. Vanya." I will go on watering you also. Isn't it great when the spell is gone? Huh? When the spell is gone, it's good. When the spell is there, it's bad. Then the magician is wondering what kind of spell should I use to take that spell away, to take it away. Should I use that spell, or that spell, or that spell? But he has many spells, many spells, many spells. Beloved master, is enlightenment like riding a bicycle? Maybe I should rephrase that. I mean, is enlightenment a permanent state of being that once gotten will stay forever, or the risk of falling back into unconsciousness is somehow always present. Forgive me if the question is a bit weird and the bicycle comparison not very spiritual, but the very first part of the question popped up in that shape and I didn't manage to cut it out of the ladder. With love and gratitude at your feet, Achal. You didn't manage? You must be weird then. Weird question happens to weird people. But bicycle is as spiritual as anything else for me, so that's cool. Bicycle is, that is just great, bicycle. Even enlightened people go riding bicycles, they must be very good. But is enlightenment like riding a bicycle? What is the kind of question is that? You are weird. You don't know it. For the first, the bicycle, nothing wrong with the bicycle, but what kind of question? Not very spiritual, it's very spiritual bicycle. For the enlightened one, there is no separation between the spiritual and non-spiritual. Everything is... I mean, what do you mean? You don't know. He's trying. I mean. You don't know what you mean. First you have to... Oh my God. I mean, is enlightenment a permanent state of being? You mean that? Or that once gotten will stay forever, or the risk of falling back into unconsciousness is somehow always present? No. Enlightenment means that unconsciousness is gone. When the unconsciousness is gone, then only reality is there. And also enlightenment means that you are gone. Then who fall back? Who is going to fall back if you are gone? There is nobody there to fall back. If somebody is there, there's always a possibility that you fall back, you fall down. That is what is called inside Satori. Then is a possibility you fall back because somebody is there who have experienced it. Enlightenment means that no, you have seen your original face before you were born. How does that look? How can it come or go? It's always been there. But you have been unconscious. So when you are unconscious, you don't remember your original face. When you are unconscious, you are not conscious. Becoming conscious, unconsciousness goes. That is what is called enlightenment. Then it's gone. It's no possibility to fall back. Because you have realized that there is no unconsciousness. When everything is conscious, how can it be unconscious then? Somebody has to be unconscious. That is, people have problem. When that you are gone, then consciousness, that's another word for enlightenment, consciousness. It's not you that is conscious, consciousness is conscious. You can never get enlightened. You have to pay yourself. Then who is going to fall? Then we can go on bicycle or car or spaceship or plane, anything, doesn't matter. Because there's no person who have an idea what is spiritual, what is not spiritual. Everything is far out. Bicycle far out. Spaceship far out. Walking far out. Driving far out. Eating far out. Sleeping far out. Far out. So, there's no risk. If it is any risk that you fall back, then not enlightenment then. And some people, they think they are enlightened in their insight or satori. Some people even start teaching them. Then big problem. Because it becomes a memory. And then they prove themselves as fools. And they fall back. So enlightenment is a permanent state because that's as far as the enlightened ones is the only enlightenment. There is no unconsciousness. That was enlightenment, light. There is light. When there is light, there is no darkness. Either it has to be darkness or it has to be light. So this is the whole thing. You have to reclaim, because you have been unconscious, you have to reclaim your consciousness again. It's like we have forgotten, we are under the spell. I've been under a spell, put you to sleep. Then the whole work is to slowly, slowly start becoming more conscious. That takes work, because you're so sleepy. Sleepy people doesn't like to wake up at 5 o'clock in the morning. No. They like to sleep till 11. But when you get bitten, then you want to get up at 3 in the morning. It doesn't matter, because it's something else is happening. So first you have to work. That is the thing. You have to come back. That takes effort, because the habit of sleep is deep. When that so-called enlightenment happen, which is just your natural state of being, then how can you forget? You cannot lose that if you have seen that, if you have come back to it. Because it is all consciousness. Like they say in the Bible, love is God. God is love. If you have realized that, how can you can't go back from that time? So anything else, as long as you are there, you can go up, you can go down. If you are gone, where's the problem then? Who can come, who can go? Coming or going far out. Always at home. Coming or going, always at home. Because it has nothing to do with coming or going. It has nothing to do with up and down. It has nothing to do. Nobody can fall. You don't need to be careful. You go anywhere, no problem. That's the price you have to pay. And you cannot even that do that. It happens that you melt more and more till you disappear. That is the grace. Coming closer, slowly, slowly, you disappear. More you disappear, more joy, more peace, more happiness, more consciousness. Okay, so just keep your bicycle, no problem. But next time, write what you really mean. And then, since you are back here, let's go over to more spiritual things. Why do Italian men have moustache? So they can look like their mothers. Mamma mia. Let's go a little more international, okay? So it's not too much. Once a British lady was approached by a German man. They were both walking by the big cliffs. They must be the White Cliffs of Dover. As he was quite taken by her beauty, he marched over to her and shouted, like any German will do, I love you! She said, if you really love me, jump off the cliff. Before the German could think, he had kissed her hand and jumped.
Jawohl.
Little bit further, the British lady was approached by Italian. He swaggered up to her and passionately whispered in her ear, Amore mio. She responded by whispering in his ear, if you really love me, jump off this cliff, show me. He said, if you really love me, you must jump with me. She was very impressed with the answer, so a lot of kissing was going on. They exchanged addresses and she went on. Then she met the British lady, was approached by a British man. He made her acquaintances and invited her for tea. Let's have a cup of tea, my dear. And a scone. After several long hours of polite conversation, he said with a low voice, with some reserve, I love you. She answered, if you really love me, jump off that cliff. To which he gallantly replied, ladies first. But it's good you're back now, Achal, so you can come with some more questions. So we can go on now, because look, even spiritual ones, it's okay. You can ask anything, Italian, the bicycle, enlightenment, anything. Die before you die. Dying means you disappear. Then you're gone, all problems gone. Then live happily. Aum Shanti.